Welcome to the broadcast.
Every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the house. Your weekend wake-up tradition.
Country boys and girls getting down on the farm.
Come on around back, Arizona. Out to the back 40. It's the first Saturday of the month, so it's our Farm Fresh segment here in our Outdoor Living Hour. And we try and connect local commodities coming off of our farms and ranch in real time with you, the Arizona homeowner and consumer, providing you the best nutrition for your home, castle, or cabin, and all those that you feed. And we've got Julie Murphy, spokeswoman for the Arizona Farm Bureau, in studio with us. And to talk ancient grains, you've brought a special guest in.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited about this segment and what we're going to talk about. The Sossaman family from the East Valley, specifically Queen Creek, and Steve Sossaman and his daughter Caroline are with us in studio today. And, you know, we want to get right into it because we're going to be talking about ancient grains, but everything else you've grown. So, Steve, I'm going to hand it over to you and ask you, you know, tell us about the Sossaman family.
I'd love to.
I know some of it started because of a natural disaster that happened in Texas. So yes. Give us the lowdown.
Okay, well, we're pretty excited to be here with you, and thank you so much for having us in here and telling our story. But yes, family came out of Texas in the early teens, and big hurricane wiped out all the pigs, wiped out all the cotton. And so then my great-grandparents came on the train into Arizona. And at that time, settled in right at kind of 19th Street in the river bottom.
Oh, wow.
And farmed a little bit down there and built houses and were, you know, carpenters and whatever. And about a little time after that, there was a lottery, kind of like the land rush. And so they were able to homestead, got two lottery tickets that they won. And so we had 260-acre pieces, went out to Queen Creek area. At that time, it was known as Pozo. Look it up on a map. Who knows what Pozo is, but probably was a stop on the railroad. Carved out the farm out there out of the raw desert, drilled the first well in 1919. And at that time, it was my great-grandmother, great-grandfather, their two boys. And grandfather went to San Diego in First World War and served on a destroyer over there.
Thank you for his service.
Yeah, and so San Diego's always been a kind of a cool place for our family. But then the first pandemic, and my great-grandfather died in 1921, in that very first pandemic. Here we are in our second one.
Yes.
So our family's been through a couple. but anyway,
but
at that time, they started out growing vegetables. And for the mines up in Superior, Globe, Miami. And so that's where the market was. Labor was here, all hand done, you know, so broccoli and cauliflower and things like that.
And talk about transportation back then.
Oh, my
gosh.
All
the way from Queen Creek.
Yes, all the way, all day long, drive up to the mines and then drive back down in those old 2-ton trucks. And,
amazing.
I think the resilience of my great-grandmother, Nancy, was the amazing part of this thing. And today, you know, I brought my daughter, Caroline. We have three girls, my wife. They have their businesses. And
women rule.
Women rule. I tell you what. And so, you know, carving yourself out in the desert, living in a tent.
Oh, God bless
them. At the time, and then drilling your own, digging your own well, and then starting to plant crops.
And today you're still there. We'll talk about some of the crops that the family has grown.
Okay, so we started out in vegetables and then moved into cotton. First year of cotton was 1922. They lifted the restriction on long staple cotton because during that time it had to be grown across the country for tire cord for the World War I. And so they lifted it in 22. We started growing cotton then. Then moved into potatoes in the late 20s and into the 30s. Grew a lot of potatoes in that Queen Creek soil. Very sandy. Very well known for its potatoes across the country. Then probably got out of the potato thing in the 50s and then stayed in cotton and grains. And one of the new ones was in the early 70s. We had the Green Revolution that happened down in Mexico. The Rockefeller Foundation went down there and basically saved Mexico from starvation because they had a problem with their wheat. And they crossed wheat and rye, two things that would never happen, and it was known as triticale. And we were the first farm in the North, in the United States, to actually grow triticale.
So interesting. It's pretty popular now.
Yeah, it's popular now. So even if there's even whiskey made out of it. So we've had a long history with wheat, cotton, but sugar beets and, you know.
Just almost everything, it seems like.
Just about everything.
So on those potatoes, I would imagine that your family took them to the processing potato plant right there on, is it Williamsfield and Higley?
Yeah, there was a place there, but the vast majority were all those potatoes came to downtown Phoenix, and they sold at a market down here. I mean, all the growers were bringing their product.
Okay.
And they had a vast market downtown, and then they would trade and sell down here. Then also, when the railroad came out into the Queen Creek area, then the potato sheds, everything was loaded on rail cars.
So cool.
Yeah.
Caroline, what's your take on this amazing family heritage that the Sossamans can claim?
Well, I mean, it's an honor to be in the legacy of very strong women from the homesteading.
There you go.
You know, everyone in my family and, of course, my dad. And I love working with the family and just kind of what we're doing now, 100 years running the farm. But we're always, you know, moving with future practices and, you know, getting really into, you know, soil conservation and finding these new varieties of grain and, you know, working with, yeah, we're kind of doing a lot of everything grain centric now. So
for the Arizona family listeners, here's this heritage, here's this generational heritage, because Steve, you're fourth generation, Caroline, you're fifth generation, and you're specifically working in agriculture. Isn't this the month of women, too?
Women's History Month.
Women's History
Every
Month.
Every month at my house.
Yes. So I have to give some props to having the honor of interviewing Steve, your grandmother, Caroline, it would be your great-grandmother, Faith, several years ago for the little small side business I used to have where I would document people, families' histories, which, by the way, thanks to Arizona Farm Bureau, I still get to do. But one thing that struck me about that interview way back then was her strength, her resilience. She was even a little suspicious about why I was interviewing her, which I love that part of it. And it's just amazing to see these generational, that transition in generation, and then you're keeping that heritage going. Late last year, Arizona Farm Bureau recognized you as a Century Farm during our annual meeting. And by the way, since you were unable to attend that one, we just passed the sign on to you. But, you know, what do you think were some of the key elements to ensuring 100 years of continuous business? I mean, here we are. I'm hanging out with a family that's been in business for 100 years in agriculture.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing when you think about it. But I go back to the resilience of my great-grandparents and then, you know, our family, you know, back in the 1700s, three brothers came from Germany to America, and they were all in agriculture, kind of spread out. So, you know, our leg of the family came through the South and through Texas and whatnot. And that resilience to just keep forging ahead, going out into new areas. I mean, Texas to Arizona, desert, no water, no rain. Pretty amazing. And then, you know, to carve that out. Then my grandmother, not my great-grandmother, but my grandmother Faith that you mentioned, she graduated from Tempe Normal, which is ASU today.
So cool.
As
Go
a teacher.
Devils.
And she was the first teacher in Queen Creek, one-room
really?
Schoolhouse, teaching the kids that did not speak English, the Mexican kids. And so when they learned to speak English, then they would be mainstreamed into the classes that you could understand English. She noticed they weren't being fed very well. When they came to school, they can't learn because they're hungry. So she went and bought a cow. She bought a cow, and that was the first cow so she could bring milk to school, which she did. We grew vegetables. She brought vegetables to school, and once in a while, venison, because my grandfather hunted deer. And I think that was the very first school lunch program.
Wow.
And once those kids got fed, they could learn, and things happened.
Maybe
and that was actually the start of our dairy. So back then we even had a dairy into the 70s.
It makes me think that might be she was the one that started making sure that kids were fed well, and now we have the national program.
Yeah.
You know, service, politics and service, both you and your dad, we need to talk about your dad, Jamie. both of you were Maricopa County Farm Bureau presidents. And then talk a little bit about your dad's service yeah. in the legislature.
Yeah, back in the late 60s, he got asked to run with some other legislators in our area in Queen Creek in the district out there. And at that time, our family's always been in public service. My grandfather, irrigation district, you name it, Farm Bureau. So my dad said yes and ran and got into the legislature. And he was there both in the House and the Senate. He was also Speaker of the House, 24-year career. And I would label him as a true statesman, which is somebody who has the state in mind whenever there's legislation out there. I learned from him that to work with other people, no matter where they come from, no matter what their background is or their political bent, but to always come together on that. I enjoyed that. I lobbied at the legislature. We got a lot of things done. I was going to ASU when we got the student regent bill passed.
Really?
Yeah, so I was part of that. A lot of other things. And then I felt when I wanted to get into politics a little bit, I wanted it more local. So myself and two others, we went down and lobbied and got our town incorporated. So the town of Queen Creek got incorporated, the three of us, kind of the founding fathers, and that was great. I got to be the second mayor, and I've been on active in the town politics for many, many years, planning and zoning and whatnot, but always available to help our local town and plan our community. So I enjoyed that.
Your mom and dad are so gracious. I just love – we've done some profile stories on both you and Chris, your wife, and then your mom and dad, and – one of the things strikes me about them, and I so agree with that whole statesman attitude, they never seem to have their own agenda. They're thinking of the greater good for other people. And
Sossaman Road is named after you guys, right?
Correct.
Yes, it is.
Aha! Score 10 points this morning.
I can find my way home.
More than just a name, you've heard Detour Dan mentioned 1,000 times in your morning drive. We've got Julie Murphy, Arizona's Farm Bureau spokeswoman, and the Sossamans in studio with us.